Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Al Kingsley. Al Kingsley is the CEO of EdTech company NetSupport and is also the chair of two multi-academy trusts and a local school governor's leadership group in the UK. NetSupport produces a range of solutions, including a cloud-based remote learning solution and an IT asset management solution to manage and support IT assets across a school or district network. His new book, My Secret EdTech Diary, publishes this early July from John Catt Education Limited. Well, good afternoon, Al. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for inviting me on.
Absolutely, Al. I appreciate it. And I know that you're hailing out of the great country of England, the UK. And I appreciate you jumping on and traversing these time zones and the globe to be on this show. So thank you. So, Al, we're going to jump right into the questions here. Let's talk about your career. It's in technology, in ed tech or education technology, as a speaker, and now you're the CEO at NetSupport. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth and what inspires you?
Well, thank you. Yes, it's been a busy one. There's about 30 years under my belt so far. And you're right, I'm CEO of NetSupport and have been for many, many years. And I suppose the key for me is, like most things, particularly the technology sector, it's a constantly evolving sector, probably more evolution than revolution. But every now and again, a hot topic, digital disruption, you get a chance to do something that's a little bit more innovative. And that aligns really, really well with my passion for education, where often we're building on the shoulders of others, and it's about fine-tuning and reacting to challenges, no less than what we've seen in the last 18 months. So, you know, I've been very, very fortunate to be involved not only in developing the right solutions, but really being embedded in the activities within schools, within my role chairing multi-academy trusts here in the UK. And that allows us to kind of make sure that, you know, co-production is at the heart. And I think that's a really strong message for anybody that's working in the sector. It's very much about, you know, you might have a sense of your customers' needs, but it's always important to actually be involved and understand so that you hit the mark from the start.
That's awesome. And the fact that you're in the education sector, I think that's, you know, the learning aspect of it. The way I look at it is that you're at the ground floor with people and you're actually the instructor kind of facilitating this whole process as you usher in new technologies and new learning. And like you said, occasionally it gets disruptive, right? So I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the really nice message on that is, you know, we're all lifelong learners. And it's kind of important to remember that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you for sharing. Well, Al, we're going to talk about the pandemic a little bit. It's that horrible word that we've had experienced the last 15 months, right? So hopefully it's starting to lift. And so the question is, what do you see changing in schools regarding technology use? And is it an opportunity for growth in that sector?
Thank you. It's a really good question. And I think the most important thing is recognizing that, you know, the conversation about the role of technology in education, the EdTech narrative, has been around a long time. But COVID has really been an amplifier to that narrative and discussion because it's been forced to the top of the agenda in many cases. And I think we identified a few really key questions. You know, the first was, what technology do we have right now and what works well? And sometimes there's a gap in really measuring impact. The second was, what tools and solutions are out there that we can select? But more importantly, how do we pick the right ones? Which ones are evidence-based or research-informed? And which ones are just shiny, promising the earth? And the third and probably the most important one was recognizing the need for investment in CPD. Actually, the training for the teachers and, of course, for children, but particularly for teachers in the use of technology. You know, confidence is the key to make tools be used consistently on an ongoing basis. And the funding, and more importantly, the time for that has often been missing in the past. So I think we've learned quite a few lessons. And from that, with confidence in EdTech, hopefully it means moving forward, it will be a broader part of the discussion when schools are looking at things like their digital strategy.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, it's interesting how us humans can adapt to some of these challenges and some of the changes in, you know, I was on a podcast yesterday talking about, look where we've come in the last 5 years compared, if you compare that, like from the 1900 to 1980, for example, it's amazing how the human mind and the human spirit and humanity is so adaptable. So thank you for sharing. I do appreciate that. So Al, let's talk about your 30-year career in EdTech. And I see you have a book coming out in July, My Secret EdTech Diary. What are the key takeaways that might help us understand the tech future in schools?
Thank you. Yes, I guess the first confession is it's not going to be a secret very long. I've kind of waited a long time before writing my first book. And I think the key thing that really stood out for me was whenever we mention the word technology, certainly when we talk about ed tech, people either embrace it or for many, there's a bit of a fear. That's the realm of the geeks and the techies. And I don't feel comfortable in that space. And actually, when you pull away the layers and some of the fancy terms, you know, the core strands about educational technology are what happen in the classroom. They are about how we facilitate great teachers at front of class to inspire and engage with our learners and hopefully save some time and help add value along the way. So what I wanted to do really was kind of take a bit of a journey through where we've been in the past, what we've learned, particularly over the last couple of years, and really not only make some recommendations, but pose the questions that people should be thinking of and asking about. And the real intention for me is it doesn't matter what your tech level is, even if a keyboard really isn't your friend. You know, the book aims to give you a position at the end of it where you've actually got confidence talking about the kinds of things that you'd like to have in your school or in your classroom or across your district, and really give people the kind of toolkit of things to be finding more about.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm really excited to actually pick up your book because I was, as you know, before, prior to the podcast, looking at your profile and seeing your career history is something that I'm very interested in. And I just love eating up technology and I love eating up, you know, what people have done in their careers and what they've experienced to really contribute back to the community. So thank you. So Al, last question here. Could you share something from your career experience that might be helpful for those looking into a career in education technology or perhaps starting their own ed tech company?
Can, although perhaps I should have mentioned as well, one of the sections that I included in the book was from an edupreneur's perspective. Often the number one question I get asked is by educators who are looking to step out of the classroom and have a foot in the commercial world and asking about how do I take an idea and turn it into a product? So I've tried to share some of those. And I suppose it ties in nicely with the sort of words of advice. You know, from my experience, and this might sound a really obvious one, but I was reminded from a very young age, you know, you have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. Mm-hmm. And the best advice in business is to use those in the appropriate proportions. And from that, what I mean, particularly in the education space, is it doesn't matter what great innovative idea you've got in your head that you want to launch as a solution. The real success ratio, the real elements that make the product what it is are the nuances that you get from listening and seeing what's happening in your chosen business area, in my case, in education. So understanding that it's a constantly moving landscape all the time, children are having different needs and there are new opportunities with technology. And so having that ear to the ground, having that involvement in the space you want to sell into, I've always found has been fundamental. And I firmly believe that the real strengths in our products that we offer now, you know, much as I'd love to take credit for all of them, are largely shaped by guidance, feedback, and that list of frustrations shared by teachers over the years that we've tried to listen to, resonate with, and then actually come up with solutions for. So really, whatever your sector, whether it's ed tech or science disciplines or engineering, it really is about understanding the marketplace you work in, and not just once, but having a continual involvement and input into that space.
I love that. And you're absolutely right. The fundamental feedback, that customer experience, is so crucial to coming up with the right solution, the right product that's going to make a difference in the community. So thank you again for sharing. And Al, it was a pleasure having you on today. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Bye for now.